You are listening to the Dark Corner Podcast with DJ Evil Dave and Commander Brandy Jacola of Starfleet
Velvet
International.
Moon glowing at me.
Hello. Sorry, I didn't know you were starting.
We're talking about the cat because we're leaving him on his own for a long time.
Yeah.
Not as long as tomorrow will be, but it's that time of year again.
It is.
Where's the Salt Lake Fan Experience?
Yep.
Fan X 2023.
10-year anniversary.
10-year anniversary, and we have not missed one yet.
No, we have not.
So, break out of our hiatus to do a little report from Fan X. Don't have a lot of plans for this one other than meeting celebs, which is weird because of the strike. So, a lot of the panels, they won't be discussing struck work. So, you know, it'll be an interesting time.
Well, apparently, a lot of people are having a lot of fun with it, a lot of the celebrities. I heard some good things about Dragon Con and how the panel would just, for Strange New Worlds, just kind of went off the rails.
Yeah.
Talk about all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it's encouraging to talk about the actors' process and their actual lives and not worry about, when episode 2, when you said this, did you really mean this kind of questions?
Yeah, I hate those kind of nitpicky questions.
Yeah. It's like, I'm an actor, I read lines that a writer wrote for me, and I put my own stamp on it. There you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So, what are your plans for this Fan X?
Looking for a new nerdy backpack.
Okay.
We're always on the lookout for cool nerdy shirts, not the standard, oh my god, this is sensory overload shirts, but yeah. Cool shirts like we got last year.
Yeah, like my Dungeons & Dragons Curse of Stroud shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or Ravenloft shirt, I think it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want one of those. But I had to get the Gojira shirt because it had Gojira.
Yeah.
As the actual original Gojira, because that's the name of the creature. But because of the way Japanese pronunciation is, and because Americans are ignorant, we think it's Godzilla.
Yeah.
But it's Gojira.
It is Gojira. They should have a D&D shirt with the original, or one of the early cover designs with the dragon.
Yeah,
the
right?
Red box design. I could see running across that.
Well, we will have fun. We're going to meet Janet Varney.
That's cool. Been a fan of hers for a long time.
So many years.
Spontanean Nation, Burning Love, JV Club, Legend of Korra, Stand vs. Evil, San Francisco Sketch Fest.
Beyond Belief.
Beyond Belief, where she plays Sadistic Doyle's vampire best friend.
Hey, only Frank gets to call her sadistic.
Yeah. Sadie Doyle. Yep. She's played several different characters for Marshall on Mars.
She's fantastic. I adore her.
Yep. Supposedly, we'll be doing a podcast about state mottos with John Hodgman.
So fun.
As a Maximum Fun Podcasting Network bonus for members. As it seems like that's a thing they're planning on doing, so I'm looking forward to that when it arrives.
Hell yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else she's in. That's like a lot.
Yeah, she has worked.
She has worked, yeah. San Francisco Sketch Fest, I believe, is the largest comedy festival in the world. I think it's bigger than Just for Laughs and the Montreal, you know, comedy thing, and was it the Edinburgh Fringe Festival? It's like, it's huge.
Yeah.
San Francisco Sketch Fest.
They've even done
big
stuff. She's even done stuff with Riff Tracks. It's SF Sketch.
Yeah. Yeah, so. She's one of the founding members of it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of my worlds colliding.
Yep.
Love
improvisational
it.
Sketch voice actor, so I'm really looking forward to her seeing her. And she's a Skinny Puppy fan from back in the day, and has struggled with like some kind of weird body dysmorphia kind of thing, where she has out of body experiences from her drug use in youth. A dog owner, dog lover. There's a picture of her in cosplay as Cora with one of her dogs. It's adorable. So, yeah, really looking forward to that. You just told me recently that, I think yesterday, that she's going to be there.
Oh, no, I told you like 2 months ago, but you forgot.
Really?
Yes.
I was like, damn, Janet Varney's going to be there?
Yeah, I was so excited when I saw her. I'm like, Dave, Janet Varney's coming. You're like, oh, wow.
Yep.
And then you forgot.
Yeah, I guess I did.
And that's okay.
It's been a while. Well, it's been a rough couple of months, too, so.
It has.
I've had a hard time this September. I think I'm over the hump of it. It's whatever issues I had, I seem to have dealt with, so.
It's just a cycle. It's a cycle.
And then there's all the stuff we're struggling with on top of that, so it was just like one straw too many.
Yeah, I get that.
Yep. So Janet Varney's big. There's some Star Trek folks going to be there.
Yeah, Frakes was supposed to come, but now he's not coming, and I'm very sad. So I'm going to meet Gates McFadden.
Nice.
Because she's my space mom.
Yep.
And although I don't think technically she's old enough to be my mom, but she might be. I don't know.
Yep. She's kind of got a witchy vibe, too, which is nice.
She's so cool. She does this great podcast called Investigates, where she just has people she knows on. And gets and asks them questions that nobody's asked them before.
Right.
You know? Things that, and it's just really organic and interesting, and I love it. It's so good. So, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, LeVar Burton, get your ass to Utah.
Yeah.
Because I would sure as hell love to meet you, man. You were formative in my growing up.
The Reading Rainbow people alone in this state would flock to him. And that plus the next generation.
Yep.
Roots.
Yeah, he's been doing it and doing it and doing it well for a very long time.
Yeah, that indeed. Dayton Ward?
Dayton Ward, one of my favorite Star Trek actors.
Writers?
Writers, I meant writers.
Yep.
And just one of my favorite writers overall. And he was, we're friends on Facebook.
Wow.
And so when he was saying that he, you know, hey, I might be coming to FanX in Salt Lake City. Is it worth it? What's it like? And of course, a bunch of Utahns jumped in and it's like, yes, please come. That'd be amazing. It's a fun con and
it's
we have a great time. It's huge.
It's big.
and you know, and he's wished me happy birthday like 2 or 3 years in a row. That's just so cool. So when he said, okay, everybody who's going to be at FanX in Salt Lake City, sound off. And my comment was, I'm going to meet you so hard. Wait, that came out wrong. So he laughed at that. He thought that was fun. So he's just really cool. I really like his writing.
Mm-hmm.
He's very intelligent. He's also a former Marine.
Oh, yes.
And liberal as fuck, so.
Yeah, that's something I discovered about James O'Barr, is he was a former Marine, the creator of The Crow.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was painting comic book characters on shirts at a comic book shop.
Yeah.
And then eventually put out his own comic.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that, too. And if he doesn't recognize me on site, I'll be like, I'm the one that said I was going to meet you so hard. Do you remember that?
Remember that?
Because I don't use my actual picture on social media anymore.
Right.
I use my little Lower Decks avatar that's the wonderful, oh my god, I've forgotten her name. I'm going to hell. Marcy, that's her
Marcy.
Name.
Marcy, all right.
Marcy made for me and is brilliant and I will always love it. Yeah, so those are the exciting things.
You have a panel.
Yeah, I have a panel on Friday. I'm praying to God that it goes well and it doesn't like the
I had. That first panel you were on where the dude took over.
Well, technically, that was the second panel I was on. The first panel I was on was about... No, that was the second panel. The first one I did was a retrospective on season 2 of Discovery because it just ended.
Right.
At the time that FanX had happened. It had been like a week since the last episode aired. And I had a lot to say because, you know, I was not excited about having another Spock because I didn't enjoy the Kelvin Timeline movies.
Yes.
I enjoyed Beyond. I still enjoy Beyond. But I'm never going to watch 2009 or Into Darkness ever again.
Right.
It's just, it's not fun for me. And I don't like the way that Spock was characterized. It has nothing to do with Zachary Quinto. Zachary Quinto is a genius actor.
Right.
And he did what was asked of him. I just didn't like what was asked of him. So that's just me. That's just me. And so I really wasn't excited about, oh, what are we going to get here? And then Ethan Peck comes along and changes my damn life. So, yeah, that was a lot of that panel.
Cool. I don't have much plans myself. It's particularly cloudy, kind of rainy day. It looks like the rain's let off a little bit at the moment.
Yeah, I'm actually wearing a jacket.
Yeah, it's a cool September morning. Well, noon, midday.
Yes.
So, we'll probably have more news on the way back. We often do a lot the first day, so we'll see how that turns out. Which is why by the third day, we're like, yeah, let's just leave. We've done everything.
Actually, we'll be like, oh my god, more?
More?
More.
And that's when, you know, Saturday's the day, like, everybody shows up. So,
yeah.
It tends to be super crowded and, you know, everything's kind of picked clean by then.
And also, it's the 10th anniversary, so
yep.
They've got other special things planned. I'm not happy with the app this year. I think that it needs more information. Like the hours of the con for each day? Oh. It's not anywhere on the app.
Wow, you have to, like, what, go to the website to figure out when they... doors open and close?
Well, actually, did I just sound like a dude bro explaining something?
Well, actually.
There was this little slip of paper that came with our wristbands and badges that had the hours of the convention on it, and so I just took a picture of that, so it's on my phone.
Okay.
And so I know. So tonight it goes till 9. It goes from, for us, from 1 to 9. For everybody else.
Yeah, we're VIPs.
2 to 9.
We're VIPs.
We're VIPs. And I am never going back. I'm never going back to general admission. I can't. Now that I've had the VIP experience.
Yep, shorter lines. Plus there's the VIP lounge.
Oh, the lounge is worth half that money already.
Yeah, it's a quieter room. You can go there, take your food.
Yeah. You can sit down. You can decompress. It's quiet. It was a lifesaver last year.
Yes, it was.
Absolute lifesaver.
I think that's it for the pre-con discussion.
The pre-con.
Yeah, we'll see what happens post day one.
Yep.
Later.
Bye.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet. Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, the Star Trek podcast by a couple of guys who are a little bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica.
How you doing, Adam?
Doing fine. Doing fine like cherry wine.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Had to put off the start of the recording for one of my famous half-hour dumps.
Yeah, we are here about 27 minutes after the official record time we set on the calendar.
You know how it is, Ben. You know how it is. You knew what you were getting into.
I knew what I was signing up for when I married him.
All right, here we go again.
Oh my god, I'm tired.
Yes, as usual, we hit Thursday pretty hard, day one, and pretty much took care of all we had planned to do.
All our goals, complete.
Yep, other than your panel tomorrow, we're pretty much done.
Mm-hmm.
Got to meet Dayton Ward.
Oh my god, he's the best.
Got to talk to him for a good long while.
I know, I felt so privileged because he's, you know, he's one of my favorite Star Trek authors and just one of my favorite authors in general. And for him to even want to talk to me that long, that was amazing.
Yeah, he just told us a few things that were like hush hush, and we're like, okay.
Yeah, well, we're good at keeping secrets.
Yep, it's like, all right, that stays with us then.
Yep. And it was just so fun. And then he posted about it on Facebook and tagged me.
Nice.
And I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, we were his first customers for the day.
Yep.
That happened a couple of times. Yeah.
People trying to cut me off, assholes. Yeah. I don't know what they think they're doing.
Yeah, because this lane ends. It's like you have nowhere else to go.
Yeah. And now we've got slow pokes. Anyway.
Yep.
Yes, I really enjoyed it. And he's like, stop by, you know, say hi again. And I'm like, oh, we will.
Yeah.
I even invited him to our panel, but I don't think he'll come.
Yeah.
He may not be able to.
And yeah, you told him about some places to go. It's like, because, you know, get out from behind the booth and walk around a bit.
Yes.
Which you can kind of do when you're an author, usually.
Mm-hmm.
Because people might not recognize you, so get up, walk around the convention floor, come back.
Yes. He is a delightful human. I could have talked to him all day. Of course. But that's not the only person that we could have talked to all day.
No, there's a... Yeah, Janet Varney wanted to talk to us for a long-ass time.
Yes, she did.
Because usually... people are there for the Legend of Korra, you know, because she voices Korra. But we know her from Spontanea Nation and JV Club and Thrilling Adventure Hour and Stent vs. Evil.
and so many things.
Yeah, all
SF
these
Sketchfest. She's a darling.
Yeah.
Oh, I adore her. I mean, I adored her before, but now that I've met her, I'm in love.
And she's gorgeous anyway, but to see her in person, it's like, oh my god.
Yeah. It's just, she's just wow.
Yep, tall drink of water.
Mm-hmm, taller than I am.
Giant,
I'm pretty tall.
Blue eyes and that, the hair bobbing. And she was standing out from behind the table so she could, you know, interact with people. And she gave you a side hug.
Yes, she asked for the hug,
yep.
Which made my whole life.
Pointed at my skinny puppy patch, and we talked about skinny puppy for a second.
Yes, she was amazing. I just, wow.
Yep.
I don't know what else to say.
So excited to hear from us because she doesn't, I think, get that many people that are into the improv stuff and her comedy stuff. It's all, you know, the voice work that she does for cartoons.
And I adore her improv.
Yes.
She's always so much fun.
I mean, I could list off the people that I admire from Spontanea Nation because they're all so amazing. And a lot of them are the same people behind Thrilling Adventure Hour because, you know, they all know one another.
Yep.
You know, Paul F. Tompkins being this hub for this wheel of comedy.
Yep. And now he's finally made his way into Star Trek along with Tawny Newsom and Eugene Cordero.
Tawny Newsom, Spontanea Nation.
Mm-hmm. Eugene Cordero, Spontanea Nation.
Whenever they would do an episode for... is Black History Month, you know, February. Paul would have all these black improvisers on. And Tawny was usually there.
Yep.
Talking about her horses. Because Paul F. Tompkins would let it go.
Yep. Always bringing it up.
Yep. Tell us about the horses. Again? I just grew up with horses. That's all. That's all I need to know.
It's just so funny, though, because that joke made it into Lower Decks.
Yep. In the horses
episode,
love me.
The episode, I excrete us.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
So it was wonderful to see Janet.
Amazing.
Such amazing. Gates McFadden, amazing.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. She was so kind.
Mm-hmm.
And just... she seemed genuinely pleased when I talked about Investigates.
Yep.
which is her podcast, by the way, guys, if you didn't know that. And she's hoping for a season three. So go to Twitter, folks, and start saying, hey, we need to investigate season three. Because it's really amazing. I love listening to her talk to people because she really does just have this way of asking questions that they don't expect.
Right.
And it gets them talking about things that they have never talked about on any other podcast or appearance. And it's just fascinating.
Well, that's a great interview style. As you ask surprising questions, you catch your interviewee off guard.
Yeah. It's just, it's wonderful. And we met Denise Crosby and Michael Dorn. And so I've got all my Star Trek people that are at the con. I've got them sorted now.
Yeah, I found out that Michael Dorn buys and sells airplanes.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And he's a pilot.
Yeah, that's a crazy thing that just to find out about somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to hear, you know, actors talk about their other interests.
Well, yeah, since they can't really talk about, you know, struck work.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah. That was amazing. And then Shameik Moore.
Oh, yes. That was a great interaction, too.
I cried. I didn't know I was going to cry.
It's the voice of Miles Morales. And I told him to his face that he brought the character to life. Brought him off the page.
I hear him when I read the comics.
Yeah.
I hear his voice. He's so good. He's so good.
Yep.
And he's just sitting there, and he's just like, I really need to learn how to take a compliment. So thank you. And I said, yes, that's the proper response. Thank you. That's how you take a compliment, and you deserve it. You deserve all the compliments.
Yep. And he had a good line going, too. Mm-hmm. So did Janet.
Yeah. And I'm sure he's going to tell all his friends about this white lady who cried at him.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he was great. It was great. I felt good about every single one of my celebrity interactions.
Yeah, all five good interactions, and we all did them within like a couple of hours.
Yes. It was amazing. They were all pretty close together, really.
Yeah, Jenna was the one that was kind of far away.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. Celebrity row.
Yeah. We could have gotten all three of the Star Trek people in a row if Dorn had been on time.
Yeah, Dorn was late, so.
He was even later than the late time that was posted.
Yep.
So we're like, oh, we'll go see Janet and then come back. And it worked out perfectly.
Yeah. Because they were having issues with Janet's line. They had to move some people around, and Janet was taking her time with people, which is great.
Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like, you know, you really mean something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, is like, obviously she knows that her fans love her, and we mean something to her.
Yes.
And so she wants to make sure that she reciprocates that.
She was wearing the most amazing jacket.
Oh god,
this denim half jacket that somebody gave her that had Legend of Korra painted on it. And then on that she's sewn on patches and she has pins. One of the patches was from the JV Club. It's the Cootie Catcher.
Yep.
The game she plays with guests.
Yes, so good.
So, oh, great. Was the first shop we hit, you got the mystery dice?
Mm-hmm. And I was their first customer, too.
Yep. What'd you get, a dice bag there?
Yes.
Yeah.
With the woof.
The woof. The woof dice bag.
The woof.
Yep. They also had embroidered dice trays,
which are beautiful.
Yeah, a lot different, because a lot of the people with dice trays, it's like just
plain,
either they're leather or they're felt. These embroidered guys, so with designs, and I guess one of the popular ones was a beehive, which is funny because this is the beehive state.
Yeah, which I'm sure that's why it's popular.
Yeah, that one sells well, and they had a matching dice bag that went with it. Bookmarks.
Oh, you forgot about my special gift that I got for being their first customer.
Oh, yeah, you got your own little set of mini dice. Little blue mini dice.
In blue, which is my favorite color.
Yeah, for being their first customer. So you got a dice bag and some dice to put in it.
And it was ladies. I love how both of the dice places we went to, well, we went to three, actually, but the two big ones were run by ladies. Created by ladies, run by ladies, and I love that.
Yep.
Love it.
got some official 10th anniversary FanX shirts.
Well, you got one.
Oh, yeah. I was the only one to get one? Or what did
yeah,
you?
Okay. I got the challenge coin.
Oh, that's right. You got a challenge coin, and I got this shirt that's Nebula from Guardians of the Galaxy, and she's doing that, like, screenshot of her leaning back with her feet out, and it's done in kind of a hazy fashion, and it's done like a album cover called Daddy Issues.
I love it.
And then it has explicit lyrics warning at the bottom.
And of course, it's Gamora.
Yep.
Gamora, sorry.
Nebula?
Nebula. Nebula. I'm having a day.
They're sisters.
Yeah.
And they have kind of similar names. Gamora, Nebula. Bookmarks, yes.
I got metal bookmarks. I love metal bookmarks.
Yeah, mine's Dr. Doom, and I got Morrigan from, oh my god, I just forgot the name of the video game. It's a fighting game, Dark something. I want to say Dark Star, but that's not it.
I'm no help with fighting
Dark
games.
It's not Dark Fighters, Dark something. Oh well, it's Morrigan. She's the succubus with these tights that have bats on them. She has wings sticking out of her head. I think most people would recognize the character that know Capcom and fighting games.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't remember all the ones that I got. I know I got a Miles Morales.
Yep.
And
Sailor Moon, I think.
I think I get a Sailor Moon. I got a Trigun one, and I think Cowboy Bebop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's four, and I think you got one other one in there somewhere because we've got seven of them.
Oh, right. I can't remember.
Yep. You'll see when you go through them.
Yeah.
So Dayton Ward, you picked up a bunch of books. He signed them for you.
Yes.
So you're like chock-a-block full of Star Trek books now.
I am. There's no such thing as too many Star Trek books.
Got some more shirts. We found the place that had my Dungeons & Dragons shirt, but you decided on a different one.
I did. I thought I was going to get the Dungeons & Dragons one, and then I saw a Gwen and Miles one. And I love Gwen.
I've got...
And Miles.
X-Men Arthur Adams with, really classic back when Banshee was with them.
Hell yeah.
One of the old poster styles of all the characters done in Arthur Adams fashion. You know, Wolverine's front and center, and you got Nightcrawler and Colossus and Storm and the lot. So, saw that and was like, okay, that's Arthur Adams. He's one of my favorite illustrators. Nab.
Mm-hmm.
Fudge.
Mint chocolate
fudge. We got some of those roasted nuts. I got cashews. You got what? Pecans?
Pecans.
So I had those to kind of tide us over when we got snacky. Visited the quiet room. It was all too quiet to be in there to be munching, so...
Yep. So we left.
Because
I'm very empathetic, and I'm like, yep. No, I'm not comfortable with this.
The quiet room was good. They had the lights dimmed, too, just to have, sensory deprivation if you get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
Even the person that information we were talking to about it, it was like, yeah, it's for, people who get overstimulated, to go there and just... decompress. It's like, yeah, that's kind of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
But we found a nice quiet corner next to the quiet room, so that worked out for us.
Yes.
There's a cute couple talking about their dice they got from a mystery bag, and they were doing an impromptu kind of silly role-playing game.
It was so cute.
It was fun. Okay, I rolled. You rolled a one. You failed. The elf kicks you in the shin.
That was so funny.
They had little stickers and stuff, and just, it was fun. Fun cosplay, Sashigo, and a Kim Possible.
And a Batman Beyond.
Yeah, Batman Beyond in armor.
Yeah.
Elvira, as we were headed out, saw some Princesses Peach.
Saw Witcher, saw a Nicholas Wolfwood, and... Vash the Stampede. A few Vash the Stampedes.
That Jedi from Oscar.
Balon.
Yeah.
or Balin, or however you
Balin,
say it.
Balin?
Balin.
Yeah. That was a speedy kind of thing, unless, you know, this is a pre-existing character. I don't know if it is.
I don't think they are. I don't know. I'm not as up on all of my Star Wars, because some of it I just don't enjoy that much.
Yeah.
And that's not a criticism of anyone who is a huge fan of Star Wars, because my younger sister is.
Yep.
And that is fine.
Couldn't get into the animated stuff, and Book of Boba Fett was just inconsistent.
Yeah, we were talking about that with Dayton Ward.
Yeah. Well, when I found out that the final battle was the whole point of it, and mm-hmm. everything was like a build-up to that, it's like, well, that makes sense. This is just a kid playing with the Star Wars toys.
Well, and it's so disappointing because I was actually starting to feel sympathy for Boba Fett.
Uh-huh.
And starting to see him as a person.
Right.
And then they just abandoned that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird series.
It was a great first half of the series.
Mm. Yeah,
I found
when he
it
was
very interesting.
Dealing with the Sand People and kind of learning their ways. Which reminds me of my Star Wars character when I was role-playing, as he learned his ways from the Sand People, was a part of their religion.
Yeah. It's, anyway. What were you saying?
Oh, just talk about the things we've done, the shops we went to.
Yeah, we went to Uber Dungeon.
Uber Dungeon got you a mystery box, and turned out that the items in there were perfect. You know, there wasn't anything you would have said no to.
Not a thing.
Blue dice bag with kind of a wintry tree on it.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
Some resin dice that are kind of combination of a soft red orange and a green.
It's very woodsy in autumn.
Yeah, it does autumn. Autumnal. It's uh-huh. a very autumnal kind of October kind of set of dice. Like leaves changing colors kind of thing.
Yes. Since autumn is my favorite.
Yeah, I've got a sticker of a turtle with a D20.
I love turtles.
And wasn't there some other... Oh, yeah. Some scratch paper for keeping track of your hit points.
Mm-hmm.
Just a pad for, yeah, when you're role-playing, you can track your hit points.
Also, a wooden pen, as in the casing was wooden.
Nice.
Metal bits on the top and bottom.
And you like pens anyway,
I love pens. Love pens, and it's a nerdy pen, so more is the better.
Whoa, look at these low-hanging clouds.
Yeah.
Woof, no wonder my ears just popped.
I know. It's getting crazy.
Yeah, I'm running out of things to say that we've done.
I think we're good.
Yeah,
I think we're good.
We did drop by a few shops just to look at what they had. And a lot of wood items, a lot of cork coasters.
Mm-hmm.
Hit that place with the engraved glasses again, like mugs and
yep.
pint glasses.
Yeah, I already have like 4 or 5 of those.
Yeah, I broke one by accident.
It's okay. I still have another one.
Yeah, it was just...
It was the Chuck one that you broke, and I still have a Nerd Herd
yeah,
one,
it was
so it's
still
fine.
Out on the counter, and I hit it with something, and it fell and went smashy.
It's okay. It's okay. It's just a thing, sweetheart.
Yep. Don't have much else. There was, yeah, that kaiju mystery box that you kind of have your eye on that we'll have to price to see if it's worth getting. And other than that, we're pretty much, I think, done.
Mm-hmm. I have a panel tomorrow at 6. I wish it was earlier.
Yeah, because then just go in, do it, leave. I mean, we could even go in late if you want.
It'd be hard to find parking.
That's true. So, oh yeah, that's what you were trying to tell me when
yes.
we were walking away and I couldn't hear you.
That is correct.
All right, well, I guess leave it there, and I guess whatever little news we have from tomorrow, we can talk about that. I don't know if we'll have much to discuss on the way down.
No, not really.
Yeah, so, yeah, we'll probably just hear from us on the way back.
Yes.
So, till then.
Bye.
Hello, my name is Brandy Jekola.
And I'm Suzanne Williamson.
And we are Boldly Go,
a Strange New Worlds podcast.
Hey, Suzanne.
Yes.
How long have you been watching Star Trek? What's Star Trek history?
It seems like forever. Since I was in the womb, possibly.
team.
So yeah, we were both born into Trek.
Indoctrinated into Trek.
There are things we have planned. Oh yes, and they may alter depending on whether we get any information about release dates. We don't know.
It'll be here eventually.
Well, we've gone on long enough, so we will see you sometime fairly soon. Well, we won't see you, actually. We'll hear you. No, we won't even hear you. We will talk to you.
We might hear them if they really like us.
Yes. Hey, Suzanne, where can people find you on the World Wide Web?
In case you wanted to get in touch with me and tweet to me about anything, you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8.
And you can also find me on Twitter at Brandywine12. That is BRANDIWINE and the number 12.
All right, we're back from day two. It was a very full day for us.
Yes, we were planning on leaving earlier, but then we didn't.
Nope. And we'll explain why, unless you wanted to start with that, but that seems like a fun thing to end with.
Yeah, let's end with that.
So we got here early to get decent parking and have a little bit of time on the convention floor before they let in the rabble. Not a good time for VIPs. It was kind of a waste of money in a way.
It was, because a lot of the VIP perks weren't perks anymore.
Yeah, the lines really depended on whoever was controlling who got an autograph and who came next in line. They weren't really following the VIP general admission things really strictly.
They were at Janet Varney's table.
Oh yeah, they moved lines around and it was two here, one there, two here, one there kind of thing. But a lot of places it just seemed to be a catch-as-catch-can, at least, by appearances.
Yeah, not even checking.
No. Few people trying to sneak in and under general admission on early door opening. Mm-hmm. Had that happen a few times.
Yep.
People just waltzing in with their white badges.
And the people at the doors stopping them.
Yes. No VIP lounge, and that was the big reason to be a VIP, is to go into a nice quiet room every once in a while.
Where you could eat without worrying about finding a place to sit.
Speaking of eating, we had a meal there. We got this elevated Mexican food in a bowl. I had the chicken, you had the pork.
Mm-hmm, so good.
Yes, both very nummy. We were very happy with that, even with the beets, which usually don't do well with me.
Radishes?
Oh, they were radishes, weren't they? Oh, maybe it was the beets that bothered me and not the radishes, so I was fine.
Yes, I love radishes. I haven't had radishes in a while. So, yeah, it was hella expensive, but it was really good.
Yeah, the convention floor price boost, which is like double it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a meal that would have cost you like $23 is suddenly costing you $46. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that took a bite, but it was better than going all the way outside to a food truck and waiting in line there.
Yeah, which was probably also jacked up in price because of the con.
Oh, yeah, and there's every food truck in Salt Lake City, I think, is parked alongside the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing
a smart
business.
Thing to do.
Yeah.
Smart. Really smart.
Pizza, Senegalese food? Is that what it was?
Senegalese. Senegal is a country.
Yes.
Senegalese.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Various other...
Cuban
meals.
Fusion.
Yeah. I think there was a hot dog place.
Chicken place.
Yep. So, drop by to see if you could see Dayton Ward again. He wasn't quite at his booth yet. So he did a loop. That's when you bumped into your sister.
My sister, who wasn't supposed to be there, I'm not even going to go into the whys of that, but she wasn't going to be there, and then she was there, and it was a delight to see her. She literally just came up and bumped against me, and I said, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, and then she just kind of keeps walking alongside me, and I actually look at her, and I'm like, oh my God! It was so funny, and I gave her a big hug, and it was just nice to see her and talk to her.
Yeah, I got to talk to her for quite a while, and I think by the time we were done talking, we looped back around. Dayton was there.
Yep. Had a nice little chat with him. He was enjoying everything. He enjoyed day one. Said that they were doing well as on selling books. So that made me happy. And I was telling him, he was asking what our plans were, and I was saying, you know, we need to find you a water bottle and store tumbler thing. And he actually messaged me and said, hey, there's this booth right here, and gave me the location, like the aisle and the number. Mm-hmm. It's a tumblers galore. I'm just like, that is just really kind. I mean, he didn't have to do that.
Nope.
He's just a fucking cool guy.
Yeah, he is.
Just a really fucking cool guy.
And we did find one, just not at that booth.
No, we found one at a place called Valkyrie Manufacturing.
Yeah, local place.
Yeah.
That will do custom engraving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got kind of a Yeti-looking one, you know, kind of similar to that design with the screw top and one of those folding down lids that actually has a little peg to
the folding straw,
yeah, block the spot where the water comes out.
Those are the best.
So I won't have a leaking issue when I'm taking it home with me. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to down all my water at the end of the day. So I'm not leaking all through my bag.
Yes, it's very sturdy and it's perfect. And what does it have on it, dear?
It has the Witcher medallion design.
Yes.
So it was kind of neat to get a design from a series I actually like.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, just settling for something. It's like, no, I like this design. I like this show. I like the color because it's kind of a navy. And I like the size and shape of it. And it even has a little area where you can loop it onto something if you want to connect it to a caravaner or something.
I got a big carabiner if you want to.
Yep. Oh, I think I still have it from you crocheting that thing for carrying those other AirPods, you know, the Skull Candy ones that...
Yeah, I think I have an even bigger one, though.
Yeah.
In case you want it. But, because you could have settled for something else, and then I told you, if you don't love it, don't get it.
Yeah, because the only other one we really saw was like a Jurassic Park one, and I was not really that enamored.
No. Because I don't like these push-in tops. They don't stay.
Yeah.
It has to be a screw-in top.
Yes, indeed. Because, the one I have right now is a push-in top, and it will leak.
Yes, it will.
Next to Dayton Ward was a comic book place.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having 25% off their trade paperbacks and hardbacks.
Yeah. And I bought something.
You did. You got yourself a nice little, not little, it's huge, it's heavy. It weighed down our backpack that we got yesterday.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got yourself a Moon Knight compendium.
Yes, I did, damn it. Makes me happy.
So that should be fun for you.
Oh, it will be. It
looks like it goes over several series.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it starts at the beginning.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Good times.
Yeah, good, thick book that you got a few dollars shaved off of, so that's nice. And it's nice to pick up a comic book at a comic book convention.
It really is. It really is. I was going to get this this other one that was Captain America, but it was a trade paperback, and it was a lot smaller. But then I saw the Moon Knight one, and I'm like, nope. Nope, I'm getting this.
Yep. Big hardback.
I love it. I haven't even opened it yet. It's still in plastic.
Yeah, well, it's been in the bag all day. Haven't had much of an opportunity to crack it open.
Yeah, well, it's unwieldy at a convention. So unless you're trying to, you know, thwack somebody with it.
And then we weighed it down more with buying some stones.
I know, it's so pretty.
It's a cool stone place, and had a cool little pyramid that was, what, $15?
Yes, for the size of it, that's insane.
Yep. Got some quartz that had a lot of energy in them.
Mm-hmm.
There's that other kind of quartz, kind of a cooler quartzy kind of stone that picked up that had, like, a nice relaxing energy, which I really need because I stress easily.
Yes.
So So if I could get a stone that I can hold to help calm me down, that seemed to be one. I put it in my hand, I was like, you know what? This is making me kind of relaxed, and it was cool to the touch.
And, and it actually got cooler, because it wasn't your imagination, because when you put it in my hand, I'm like, oh, that's nice. And then it got cooler.
Yeah,
it literally got cooler.
Like, cools down as you're holding it, which is insane.
That is insane.
Yeah, got a couple of those. Got one for you, one for me. So, you know, we have de-stressing stones.
Yeah.
You got some snowflake obsidian.
Yes, it's beautiful. And when I was holding it, it just felt like the headache that I had at the time wasn't as bad.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was just... And it's just beautiful. And it was rough. And it was a big piece of snowflake.
Oh, yeah, it was a nice
obsidian
chunk. And he had even larger pieces that were a little more pricey.
Yeah, but this was one of the 2 for $5, which blows my damn mind.
Yep.
But they source all the stones themselves.
Yes.
And so they don't have to pay someone.
Yeah, they don't have a distributor. I guess they're just into geology and go looking for rocks.
Yep.
They had some nice samples. And they had some polished ones, too.
Mm-hmm.
They had stone rings, if you're into that sort of thing.
They're a little too thick for me.
You're a little too thick, and yeah, I can see that. They just feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. They would rub against my skin and my other fingers.
Looked at a few more dice places, and they had some tempting dice, but I think the price tag on them were a bit too high, even as sophisticated as the dice were. It was like, oh no, for that price, dice? You know, when I already have dice? Do I really need these dice when I have dice? So I think we were okay with letting that go.
Yeah, they did have things that we had never seen.
Yeah, they had alternative style dice, like they're four-sided, which has... It's basically like you had a Rolo candy that you flattened on four sides.
It's like one of those chewy Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
Not chewy Jolly Ranchers. Those chewy Tootsie Rolls that are not toffee.
So instead of the pyramid shape, you have this kind of log you can roll that, you know, has rounded edges so you can't roll it on its side. And some of them were more like disc shaped, and the point that would come up would be the number. And they were metal, because I've seen those dice before done like just plastic, not even resin, just plastic. But it was interesting to see them done as metal dice. They had some hollowed out dice that were super lightweight, and yeah, I could see them being very intricate and expensive to make, but yeah, still the price tag is like a bit much. Got you a journal?
Got me a journal. That was like one of my favorite booths because they also had dice. They had the super spikiest blue dice I have ever seen.
Oh yeah, they look like they would hurt you rolling them.
Yes, they would. They were seriously, all of the corners of what would be the die are just spikes.
Yep.
They're just spikes. Very pointy. And they had a variety of interesting things. Like, they had those ammo boxes as
well. Oh, yeah, that's right. They had ammo boxes that were engraved on the side. A lot of them were with Fallout stuff.
And you know how I love me some Fallout.
Like Brotherhood of Steel and things like that. I don't know how much they were, but it was pretty nifty. And I think they might have been mystery bags sold in ammo boxes?
I don't know. I didn't really check.
Yeah.
I know they were heavy as hell, so they were actual ammo boxes.
Yeah, because they're pretty heavy even when they don't have stuff in them. But
yes,
you put stuff in them and it's like, they're even heavier. There's a few places. Was that the same place that had the skull? Well, no, that was a different one.
That was the one that had the dice that were too expensive.
Yeah. They had dragon eggs and skulls with the mystery dice inside of them. Tarot cards.
Yeah, found someone selling tarot cards, and they were all handmade, you know, hand painted and drawn by this woman's friend. The woman was running the shop, and there were a bunch of different decks, but There was only one that I really wanted, and I got it.
Yep, it was a cat one.
Kitties! Kitties!
And they're kind of shiny cards, too. They're very, like, glossy and shiny.
Yes, they're very pretty. She had sample decks out so that people could look at them, and I love that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Like a hole punch put on the side of them and then put on, like, a chain.
Yeah, because honestly, it is hard to tell from a wrapped package if you're going to like a deck.
Yeah, but from, like, 3 or 4 sample cards, it's like, well, what's your minor arcana look like?
Because yeah,
that can really decide whether I want to get this or not.
Yeah, that's the big one. I don't like it when they do the minor arcana with just pentacles.
Yeah,
like, this doesn't help me. You've just put 9 pentacles on this, but what the fuck does it mean?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like that.
Yeah, there was a one that was done with bones and, like, anatomy of different animals, you know, their skeletons and stuff. But it just, for the price, it wasn't, something I wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like something I could have just settled for, but not something I needed or necessarily wanted. Is that it for the vendor floor? Am I missing anything?
They changed the speed limit to 65 up in here? Hell yes!
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I didn't notice that yesterday when we were driving up.
Oh.
That's fantastic. Sorry.
Okay.
My journal. My journal is a Fallout journal.
Right.
It's a Fallout 4 journal. And it's done like one of the Wasteland Whisperer. I can't remember what you talked
about. Oh, yeah, the magazine. The Survivor's Guide.
The Survivor's Guide.
Yeah.
Wasteland Survivor. It might be Wasteland Survivor is what it's called, I think. It's very much like that. But see, the problem is that I don't like unlined journals if I'm going to use it for writing.
Right.
And because I can't write straight to save my life. So I wanted one with lines. And so I asked her before even... I actually got in a great conversation with this woman about Fallout in general and post-apocalyptic stuff. But I asked her, is this lined or unlined? And she says, well, it's lined. I mean, we might have a few that are... And I was like, no. I want lined. I want lined. It is so much harder to find lined these days.
Yep. Everybody wants them to be like a... You can either sketch or write in them, you know, and so they'll have just blank pages.
Or they'll have dots.
Or like it's graph paper kind of thing.
Yeah, not graph paper, but just dots.
Right.
So, yeah. So I was so excited that it was just straight up lined journal. So I will treasure that.
Nice. Is that it for vendor? I'm kind of running out of things that we might have picked up from the vendor floor.
Oh, I found Spock magnets.
Oh, yeah, Spock magnets. Yeah, there's Ethan Peck Spocks. A couple of magnets.
We just call him Ethan Spock.
Ethan Spock.
And that's the only Ethan Spock I saw in the entire convention.
Yep, we're on a couple of magnets.
Excuse me.
Refrigerator-style magnets.
Yep. Love them.
We hit some panels. We went to the science room that the planetarium was doing. Got to see them do stuff about liquid nitrogen. That was fun. They're freezing a bunch of stuff and then smashing it with a hammer.
Well, and also how long it takes to freeze something.
Oh, yeah.
Like this instant freezing of a girl's head in Jason X. No, that's not how it works. It takes up to an hour or more to freeze a human body completely.
Yeah.
And even so, it won't shatter.
Nope, because we're too dense.
We are too dense.
Yeah, something like a tomato will shatter. Grapes will bounce. She couldn't quite explain why.
ping pong balls also don't shatter.
Shatter.
Bouncy balls.
Yeah, bouncy balls, because it's rubber.
Yeah.
It, like, solidifies, and, yeah, that's it.
Ping pong balls won't shatter at room temperature, but they will if you dip them in
liquid nitrogen.
Liquid nitrogen for a minute or two.
And pouring it out, she dipped her hand in really fast because there's this little protective bubble at first that you have to leave your hand in there for a long time for it to have frostbite.
Yep.
Because it's evaporating around your hand because of the temperature of your hand, because it evaporates so quickly when it reaches, you know, room temperature, that she was even pouring some out and it just was evaporating and turning into like dry ice smoke kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's so funny because when you put an object in there, it's the liquid nitrogen starts to boil because of something that's room temperature. That's how fucking cold it is.
Yeah, yeah, something room temperature will have the liquid nitrogen boil.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's warmer than, you know, what it's set to be in liquid form.
Yep.
Went to the same room later, and they were talking about thrust. And, like, water, air, liquid fuel, that sort of thing. What's necessary to move a mass is you have to have greater mass to move something. You know, getting into space requires a great deal of thrust to lift something that heavy off the ground.
And then to escape the Earth's gravity.
Yeah. Went briefly to this Decide Your Apocalypse thing, but it was going to be...
Choose your own apocalypse.
Yeah, too much interaction, too much moving around, and noise. Yeah. And
so many people in there, and I just immediately started to feel like, no, this is not a good idea, this is not a good idea. And I thought, no, we're going to stay, it's going to be fun. And then I'm like, no, we're going.
Yeah, once more people piled in, it was like, yeah, this is going to be a nightmare. So we left, and we could still hear a lot of screaming and noises from that room after we left.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we evaded something that would have been annoying. King Kong.
That was fun.
90 years old. They went over a bunch of Kong films, including the kaiju stuff, like from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the, like, offshoots. Not all of them, because, you know, they said they could have done a lot with knockoffs.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun, except that they thought John Ashton was John Astin, and it wasn't.
Right. And they pulled the audience to who saw what King Kong film when.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the original first. I saw the 70s one first, and few people saw the Jackson one first.
Yeah, the 70s one, I was old enough to understand, you know, what was going on. And I was so sad at the end. It broke my damn heart. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Was it after that that was your panel? Or am I skipping a panel that
I'm trying to remember.
Forgetting it. Oh, no, there was the one about Kwai Kotor.
Yeah. Yeah, that was before the Kong one.
Yeah, that was fun, about the Japanese cute culture.
Mm-hmm.
And its fashion and food and being an anime and celebrating youth and the idols. And how that's not as pervy as it seems from the outside.
Mm.
So I'm still not sure about that. I don't know about these salarymen, you know, funding these young idols to live their idol lives.
Mm.
It's like, I don't know. But, you know, different cultures.
Yep.
But talked about your lazy egg.
Guditama.
Yep, and Gothic Lolitas. It was nice to hear a mention of them. And also that one, I forgot what she called it, but it was the medical corps one.
Yes.
Yeah, the nurses, and how a lot of it was about mental health as a way to dress fashion-wise to indicate that you're not okay.
Yep.
Because mentally you're not doing well, so you'll dress as a nurse with, you know, band-aids and wrappings and stuff. Very interesting discussion. She couldn't get her tech working because her laptop pooped out on her.
Wouldn't turn on.
And couldn't get her phone to connect to the projector, so yeah, it was mostly her describing things, and yeah, she was silly and fun and dorky, and
she was adorable.
Yeah, kept telling us she was from Florida. From Florida. Hi, I'm from Florida.
Hi, if you're just joining us, my laptop pooped out, so I'm sorry, there's no pictures.
And I'm from Florida.
I had a PowerPoint presentation. She was fun.
Yeah, and then it was your Ladies of Star Trek panel, which had a nice turnout.
I am shocked at how many people were there.
It had a nice, active audience.
Oh, shoot, I gotta move over.
Participating.
Don't cut me off. Okay, we're good.
Anytime you talk about a character, there'd be like applause or women nodding along or saying stuff along about, you know, the sexism, the misogyny, especially during the Berman era, where women were really underwritten.
Mm-hmm. And
how
over-sexualized.
Yeah, Deep Space Nine was a different thing than Next Generation because women were allowed to be more, and so you had better, more well-rounded female characters. We're about to go to get some food, so I guess I could stop here for now?
Yep.
Okay. More later. Yeah, we were talking about your Ladies Star Trek panel.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional support Vulcan.
Yes.
Did we talk about that?
We have not talked about the emotional support Vulcan. Tessa, who is one of the panelists, her girlfriend was unfortunately unable to be there due to a death in the family. And her friend Kit came along with her so that she wouldn't be alone. And she was, Tessa was dressed as Strange New World's Christine Chapel. And and I'm going to go a weird way, so don't be alarmed, Dave.
Okay, that's fine.
And Tessa's friend Kit was dressed as a female Spock. And so they were adorable together. And Tessa made an offhand joke of, you know, yeah, you should just sit by us and be the emotional support Vulcan. And I said, no, really. That would be fun for her to just sit up on the dais with us and be an emotional support Vulcan. And they hadn't provided us name tags this time, but we found out later they were giving us
like whiteboards. Yeah, like little tiny wedge whiteboards that you could put your name on marker and then erase, which is a great way to go kind of more green.
Yes.
In that you're not printing off all these name tags just to throw them away, even though
I've saved everyone.
Yeah, you'd either save them or recycle them would be fine, but, you know, less paper products.
And I actually ended up getting emotional, and so the emotional support Vulcan, which is funny because Vulcans suppress their emotions.
Yeah.
She was right there for me. She was so kind. So thank you, Kit.
Yeah, it was a really good panel. And we were about to go home when I was peering over your shoulder at what was taking place in the panel that we just left. And it was drag queens raiding the outfits of the X-Men.
Oh my God, yes. Hell yes.
So we stayed there and they wanted input from the audience. And I went up there and did a little bit of reading of my own.
Yes, it was great.
To this one Xavier was wearing, which was, you know, this cape and this helmet, and it looked, I kid you not, like he was in Battle of the Planets.
Mm-hmm.
It had that kind of split cape bird kind of design.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had me stay up there for the swimsuit one, which was him in, like, this Speedo that was a little much, mm-hmm. as in it was covering more than it needed to.
Yeah.
It seems like he was kind of trying hard, but it was fun. Just glorious drag queens. Wonderful. Them just talking about all the different looks and some liking it, some not, giving their explanations why.
Yeah, it was either schnicked or kicked.
Yep, schnicked or kicked.
Yeah, kicked is bad, schnicked is good.
And the knowledge some of them had of the X-Men was amazing. What was her name? Demanda. Demanda.
Basically, Demanda.
Demanda.
D apostrophe Amanda.
Demanda. Okay, yeah. I got it. And there's Milady. Just trying to keep up on the names. I couldn't quite get all of them.
It was fantastic. And it was, and even the moderator was gay. Like, they were all gay. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I actually helped him because he came in after us and he was about to go up. He thought I was, a volunteer. I was like, well, I think a HDMI cable is up there because the previous moderator had that plugged into her laptop and it was working fine. So apparently he got it to work because, yeah, they were showing clips.
You know, it was so great.
Pictures of different outfits, and some of them were ridiculous and some of them were like, damn.
I laughed out loud so many times.
Yes, it was so funny.
It was great.
Yeah, and then the explanation, there's a story behind this outfit and why they're wearing this. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
Well, it's funny. It was a Magneto. Well, it wasn't a Magneto one. It was Magneto's daughter, actually.
Oh, yeah. Polaris.
And this guy didn't know that. Mm-hmm. But she, you know, she was basically reclaiming her heritage at the time.
Yeah, she was wearing basically Magneto's famous helmet.
Yeah, he's just like, I don't get it, so I'm going to go kicked. And then, you know, Diamanda explained it, and he's like, well then, that makes sense. And he's like, well, don't change it just because of what she said. And he's like, no, there's a story behind it, and the story makes sense.
And the other one that was on the far right of the panel was like, well, fashion doesn't have feelings.
Yes. Oh my God, that was one of the greatest panels I have ever seen.
Yeah, I'm so glad we stayed.
Mm-hmm.
So we left a little later.
I love nerdy drag queens. It's the
nerdy drag queens, and it's like X-Men appeals to gays and to, you know, non-white people, and, you know, just because it is about being the minority. And a lot of times the, you know, the characters and their representation, you know, follows that. Now, Rachel Summers is a lesbian, but it took her a while to come out. And Iceman being gay.
Yeah.
That took a while to happen.
Except he really just went for the crazy clothes.
Oh, yes.
Way too fast.
Oh, yeah. His the Hellfire regalia outfit is like, are those ice wings he's wearing?
What is this?
And then Rachel's dominatrix outfit with the twin stiletto heel.
Okay, I don't even know how that works. Yeah. I don't think that works in gravity.
So her shoes would be like tripods. It's like, well, you're not rolling a hill then. You're nice and stable.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. What a great panel.
Yeah, we're pretty close to home now. I think we finished off. We managed to get out of the parking lot in a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
I was weirdly having trouble breathing when we were outside. Inside the condo was fine. Outside, struggling for breath. But I guess we can stop there, and I guess I'll clean up this audio as best I can and put some little things at the start and the end, and maybe end with a dark track. And that's it for FanX 2023. Any last thoughts?
Dave had a great playlist for the drive down.
Oh, that's right. That was my FanCon one.
Yes, and we've mostly talked on the way back, so we didn't have a chance to listen to it on the way back, but it was fire, y'all.
Yeah, she was singing along to like half the songs, and those were the half she knew.
Yeah.
I have stuff like on there by KMFDM and My Life with Thrill Kill Cult, which you weren't as familiar, so yeah, singing along to Liz Phair and to Queen. AC/DC and stuff like that.
And
Bare Naked Ladies.
Blue Swede.
Goldfrapp.
Yep. Good times.
Yeah, good times. So, take care out there. Yeah, you'll probably hear from me a little more soon. And bye.
Bye.
Hello, it's me again with some final thoughts and a few other points. The Capcom fighting game I was thinking about that you were probably shouting at us, though we could not hear you, is Darkstalkers. I was probably confused because stalking is not a very active thing, not a very combative thing. I mean, you stalk before you pounce, so Dark Pouncers probably wouldn't quite have the same vibe. Growler is presently looking up at me expectantly. I gave him treats recently. He seems to be wanting more. I'm going to reach down and pet his little head. He snuck out and got in a bit of a fight with the little orange kitty earlier, so we're a little upset at him. He can be such a sweet bud, but not to other cats. The drag queen show, the Snicked or Kicked. I got a couple of names. Demanda Martini, that I'm now following on Twitter, in parentheses X. Very knowledgeable drag queen from the DC area. Really encyclopedic knowledge of the X-Men and the various periods of different characters, such as early Rogue when she was a frumpy teenager and would dress in layers to cover up her body because, yeah, there's some self-consciousness involved there. And that later you'd see her revealing more skin as she grew more confident. I think most people know of the Savage Lands version of Rogue when she's in her torn-up lemon-lime outfit. And the moderator for this panel is Chad Anderson of the Gray Malkin podcast, and I believe that's a local podcast based in Salt Lake City, discussing the X-Men from a queer perspective. I'm still creating a tabletop role-playing game, occasionally run into some problems with some of the rules, movement rates, scaling bonuses for size, that sort of thing that I have to keep tweaking. This is the weird thing about increasing in size is your strength does not necessarily increase with it because we're three-dimensional beings. So technically, if you were to double your size, you'd really have to cube your strength to carry your weight around. And trying to deal with that in a game system without having things get too overblown. I'm working around ways to kind of balance the system a little better. Same with decreasing size and decreasing speed is because you have less weight to move around. You could probably move a little faster, so I'm going to have to adjust that. I do have a dark track for you. This one's been on the back burner for a while. A direct submission from the band Lovers and Deceivers from Rochester, New York. They write dark pop love songs. This one strays a little from that theme. It's called Pickety Witch. I looked up Pickety to see what it meant, and apparently it's a place in New Hampshire. There's a little cabin that's based on Little Red Riding Hood. It's called Pickety Place. If Pickety is a place in New Hampshire and there's a witch associated with it, that kind of makes sense. There's a long tradition of witches in the history of New England. So yeah, some dark pop by Lovers and Deceivers called Pickety Witch. This is the Leather Strip remix, which I thought was appropriate, as Klaus is an out gay man who's into fetish. And so the remix version of that, and then Pickety Witch being a song about a witch when Demanda Martini was dressed as the Scarlet Witch, the classic Avengers red headdress version of the Scarlet Witch. So, yes, take it away, Lovers and Deceivers.
Deep in the dark woods,
And finally, our new outro that I created because apparently Apple Podcasts is swinging down the banhammer on various podcasts that play music, even in a parody kind of way. I'm hoping we'll dodge that bullet, as I like to do the playlist episodes. I should have one coming up for Halloween really soon. I don't know if I'm quite in the mental space to get back into regular podcasting yet. We'll see. We still have more of the tarot to discuss. Just taking a long hiatus. I hope you don't mind. It is nice every once in a while to pop in with a special like the FanX 2023 report and occasional playlist. But not quite ready for regular podcasting yet, I don't think. Anyhow, take care out there. It's a crazy world, which is largely why I've taken a step back from podcasting recently. So anyhow, thanks for continuing to be a listener, even with the inconsistent releases. Being a podcast listener to myself, I've also encountered this with podcasts dipping in and out, the Feminine Critique being one that will take the occasional hiatus. I guess I'll stop babbling at you and let you carry on with your day. So take care out there. You have just listened to the Dark Corner Podcast with DJ Evil Dave and Commander Brandy Jacola of Starfleet International. Find Brandy at most places as Brandywine or Brandywine12. You can find me under DJ Evil Dave, including my SoundCloud page. Follow Brandy's other podcasts, Boldly Go, a Strange New Worlds podcast, The Vedic Assembly, a Deep Space Nine podcast, and What the Future Holds, a Star Trek Discovery podcast. She also does a live YouTube show with Dan Gunther most Saturdays called The Unready Room. Find it on Kurt Ratz Productions YouTube channel. Kurt Ratz is Star Trek spelled backwards. The opening and closing themes are Lunatic and Quartet for Strings Number 0 by Paper Bats, created by me using music generating software. The dark track was submitted by the artist or artist's representative, or was offered for free, and no violation of copyright is intended. Thanks go to the labels that contribute music to this podcast, including Artifact, Alpha Matrix, Tiger Squawk, Af Music, Project, Synthematica, Darkness Calling, among others. Please follow, rate, and review this podcast should you have the chance. And thank you for letting us keep you in the dark.
Corner.